Our Holy Father Alexis, the defender of the Orthodox faith and zealous worker in the Lord's vineyard, was born in Austro-Hungary on March 18, 1854, into a poor Carpatho-Russian family. Like many others in the Austro-Hungarian Empire, the Toths were Eastern Rite Catholics. Alexis's father and brother were priests, and his uncle was a bishop in the Uniat Church. He received an excellent education and knew several languages: Carpatho-Russian, Hungarian, Russian, German, Latin, and a reading knowledge of Greek. He married Rosalie Mihalik, a priest's daughter, and was ordained on April 18, 1878, to serve as a second priest in a Uniat parish. His wife died soon afterwards, followed by their only child, losses which the saint endured with the patience of Job. In May 1879, Father Alexis was appointed secretary to the Bishop of Prešov, administrator of the diocesan administration, and entrusted with the directorship of an orphanage. At Prešov Seminary, Father Toth taught church history and canon law, which served him well in his latter life in America. St. Alexis did not serve long as a professor or an administrator, for the Lord had a different future plan for him. In October 1889, he was appointed to serve as pastor of a Uniat parish in Minneapolis, Minnesota. Like another Abraham, he left his country and his relatives to fulfill the will of God. Upon his arrival in America, Father Alexis presented himself to the local Roman Catholic diocesan authority, Archbishop John Ireland, since there were no Uniat bishops in America at the time. Archbishop Ireland belonged to the part of American Catholics who favored the Americanization of all Roman Catholics. His vision for the future was founded on a common faith, customs, and the use of the English language for everything except liturgical celebrations. Naturally, ethnic parishes and non-Latin rite clergy did not fit into this vision. Thus, when Father Toth came to present his credentials, Archbishop Ireland greeted him with open hostility, refusing to recognize him as a legitimate Catholic priest or to grant him permission to serve in his diocese. As a historian and professor of canon law, Father Toth knew his rights under the terms of the Unia and would not accept Archbishop Ireland's unjust decisions. In October of 1890, there was a meeting of 8 of the 10 Uniat priests in America at Wilkes-Barre, Pennsylvania, under the chairmanship of Father Toth. By this time, the American bishops had written to Rome demanding the recall to Europe of all Uniat priests in America, fearing that Uniat priests and parishes would hinder the assimilation of immigrants into American culture. In turn, the Uniat bishops in Europe refused to listen to the priests' pleas for help. Archbishop Ireland sent a letter to his parishes ordering their members not to attend Father Toth's parish nor accept any priestly ministrations from him. Expecting imminent deportation, Father Toth explained the situation to his parishioners and suggested that it might be best for him to leave and return to Europe. "No," they said, "let's go to the Russian bishop. Why should we always submit ourselves to foreigners?" It was decided to write to the Russian council in San Francisco in order to ask for the name and address of the Russian bishop. Ivan Milnyar went to San Francisco to make initial contact with Bishop Vladimir. Then in February 1891, Father Toth and his church warden, Paul Podani, also made the journey. Subsequently, Bishop Vladimir came to Minneapolis and on March 25, 1891, received Father Toth and 361 parishioners into the Orthodox Church, the church of their ancestors. The parishioners regarded this event as a new triumph of Orthodoxy, crying out with joy, "Glory to God for His great mercy." This initiative came from the people themselves and was not the result of any coercion from outsiders. The Russian Orthodox Church was unaware of the existence of these Slavic Uniat immigrants to America, but responded positively to their petition to be reunited to the Orthodox Church. The example of St. Alexis and his parish in returning to Orthodoxy was an encouragement to hundreds of other Uniats. The ever-memorable father was like a candle upon a candlestick giving light to others. And his flock may be likened to the leaven mixed with meal, which leavened the whole. Through his fearless preaching, he uprooted the tares which had sprung up in the wheat of true doctrine, and exposed the false teachings which had led his people astray. Although he did not hesitate to point out errors in the doctrine of other Christian sects, he was careful to warn his flock against intolerance. His writings and sermons are filled with admonitions to respect other people and to refrain from attacking their faith. While it is true that he made some strong comments, especially in his private correspondence with the church administration, it must be remembered that this was done while defending the Orthodox Church and the American mission from unfounded accusations by people who used much harsher language than did Father Toth. His opponents may be characterized by intolerance, rude behavior, unethical methods, and threats against him and his parishioners. Yet, when Father Alexis was offended or deceived by other people, he forgave them, and he would often ask his bishop to forgive him for omissions and mistakes. In the midst of great hardships, this herald of godly theology and sound doctrine poured forth an inexhaustible stream of Orthodox writings for new converts, and gave practical advice on how to live in an Orthodox manner. For example, his article, How We Should Live in America, stresses the importance of education, cleanliness, sobriety, and the presence of children in church on Sundays and holy days. Although the Minneapolis parish was received into the Orthodox Church in March of 1891, it was not until July 1892 that the Holy Synod of Russia recognized and accepted this parish into the Diocese of Alaska and the Aleutians. This resolution reached America only in October of 1892. During that time, there was a climate of religious and ethnic hostility against new converts. Father Alexis was accused of selling out his own Carpatho-Russian people and his religion to the Muscovites for financial gain. In reality, he did not receive any financial support for a long time, for his parish was very poor. Until his priestly salary began to arrive from Russia, the Righteous One was obliged to work in a bakery in order to support himself. Even though his funds were meager, he did not neglect to give alms to the poor and needy. He shared his money with other clergy worse off than himself, and contributed to the building of churches and to the education of seminarians in Minneapolis. He was not anxious about life, what he would eat or drink or wear. Trusting in God to take care of him, St. Alexis followed the admonition of our Savior to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. So he bore the tribulation, slander, and physical attacks with patience and spiritual joy, reminding us that godliness is stronger than all. Even though he was aware of his shortcomings and inadequacies, he was obedient to the instructions of the bishops. He did not hesitate or make excuses, but went immediately to fulfill his mission. St. Alexis visited many Uniate parishes, explaining the differences between Orthodoxy, Protestantism, Roman Catholicism, and Uniatism, stressing that the true way to salvation is in Orthodoxy. Like Josiah, he behaved himself uprightly in the conversion of his people. He was instrumental in the formation or return of 17 parishes, planting a vineyard of Christ in America and increasing its fruitful yield many times over. By 1909, the time of his blessed repose, many thousands of Carpatho-Russians and Galician Uniates had returned to Orthodoxy. This was a major event in the history of the North American mission, which would continue to shape the future of Orthodoxy in this country for many generations to come. Any future growth or success may truly be regarded as the fruit of Father Toth's apostolic labors. Who can tell of the saint's spiritual struggles? Who can speak of the prayers which his pious soul poured forth unto God? He did not make a public display of his piety, but prayed to God in secret, with all modesty, with contrition and inward tears. God, who sees everything done in secret, openly rewarded the saint. It is inconceivable that St. Alexis could have accomplished his apostolic labors unless God blessed and strengthened him for such work. Today the Church continues to reap the bounty of his teaching and preaching. Father Alexis's efforts did not go unrecognized in his own lifetime. He received a jeweled mitre from the Holy Synod, as well as the Order of St. Vladimir and the Order of St. Anna from Tsar Nicholas II for distinguished service and devotion to God and country. In 1907, St. Alexis was considered as a candidate for the episcopal office, but declined this honor humbly, pointing out that this responsibility should be given to a younger, healthier man. At the end of 1908, St. Alexis's health began to decline due to a complication of illness. He went to the seashore in southern New Jersey in an attempt to regain his health, but soon returned to Wilkes-Barre, where he was confined to bed for 2 months. The Righteous One reposed on Friday, May 7th, 1909, April 24th on the old calendar. The Feast of Saints Sabas and Alexius, the Hermit of the Kiev Caves. Saint Alexius's love and concern for his spiritual children did not cease with his death. Before closing the account of his life, it would be most appropriate to reveal but one example of his heavenly intercession. In January 1993, a certain man prayed to St. Alexis to help him obtain information about his son, from whom he had been separated for about 28 years. Placing his confidence in the saint's boldness before God, he awaited an answer to his prayer. The very next day, the man's son telephoned him. It seemed the young man was in church when he was suddenly filled with an overwhelming desire to contact his father. He had been taken to another state by his mother, and she changed his name when he was a child. This is why the father was unable to locate him. Having learned from his mother that his father was an Orthodox Christian, he was able, with the help of an Orthodox priest, to obtain his father's phone number in a distant city. As a result of that telephone call, the young man later visited his father, who rejoiced to see what sort of man his son had become. The father gave thanks to God and to St. Alexis for reuniting him with his son. St. Alexis was a true man of God who guided many Carpatho-Russians and Galician immigrants through the dark confusion of religious challenges in the New World and back to the unity of the Orthodox Church through his grace-filled words and by his holy example. In his last will and testament, St. Alexis commended his soul to God's mercy, asking forgiveness from everyone and forgiving everybody. His holy relics now rest at St. Tikhon's Monastery in South Canaan, Pennsylvania, where the faithful may come to venerate them and to entreat St. Alexis's intercessions on their behalf. Let us glorify God, who has raised up such a luminary in our land, thanking him for giving us Father Toth as our leader, teacher, and father of the Orthodox Church in America. Through his holy prayers, may we also attain the heavenly kingdom, dedicating our lives to our Lord Jesus Christ, to whom be all glory, honor, and worship, together with his unoriginate Father and his all-holy, good, and life-creating Spirit, both now and ever, and unto the ages of ages. Amen.